The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome on back to our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday evening show. I'm Randy Corporan, your pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. Still, in spite of it all, unafraid to speak truth on the air and challenge the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat controlled media machine, all of the loudmouthed left wing pundits, the Republicans who are more interested in their own personal success or, you know, maintaining some level of decorum while our country is swirling down the drain. And I invite any and every one of them to come on this show, to invite me into their podcast, their studio, their this or their that. And with very few exceptions, one I can think of, I'll be there. I've only turned down one interview in my entire life, I think, and I'll probably stand on that decision. But man, oh man, so much going on. It's been 3 weeks since I've sat behind this microphone. I missed you. It's good to be back. And this is the first weekend, the first Saturday of spring. And we're getting, yeah, that's right, John Corbless behind the glass. He's like up out of his seat, arms in the air. Come on, baby. Man, do I agree. Need some sun, need some warmth, need some motorcycles, need some green grass, need some fresh air. And today was a beauty, 63 right now here in Aurora. Let's see what it is over there in hell. Yep, actually a little cooler in hell. That's unusual. Denver at 62 degrees right now, and we lose some of the greatness for a few days. We're going to head down into the 50s, maybe even some high 30s and 40s overnight, and then it looks like it warms up again toward the weekend. We shall see. But I've been thinking about so many things. You know, the winter was really hard, dark inside my heart, inside my soul. We're in the 10th month now since my wife passed away. And I've been trying to think about, you know, how to flip that switch, just look ahead, not stepping away from the past, not minimizing any moment, any person, anything that has made my life as rich as it has been. And of course, never, ever forgetting the love of my life. But I say that, and it sort of, you know, it creates this thing like, you know, that life is over. And it is. And I can't fire myself back up when I look at it that way. So I was just trying to think of a different way to put it. You know, the love of my old life. I still have a new life or a current life to look ahead to. I've really been, you know, starting to feel like myself again, getting back into work, feeling excited about solving problems and doing things and really reinvolving myself in the law firm, trying to clean up messes and, you know, all of those things. And I think that really correlates well with spring. The more sun we get, the more green grass we get, the more it's that feeling of life, new life. And when you lose the most important person in your life, you've got to find a new direction, a new way to proceed. At least I think I do. And I'm really working on that. And so many blessings that have come my way, it just blows me away. Great friends, wonderful people, new people to love, old people that I'll never stop loving, you know, all of it. And I just try to focus hard on the fact that in spite of anything that's been bad, anything that's been sad, anything that continues to always, you know, poke at your heart when you get a flash or a memory or any of those kinds of things, that the way to honor the lost soul and the way to honor the quality and caliber and joy of that life is to find a way to bring that joy into my new life. And so, you know, I did a grief class. I read multiple books, all those kinds of things. And I'm just trying to figure out how to plot my own way forward. And I hope, you know, in my business, I meet people who've lost loved ones, who are divorcing loved ones. Sometimes that's a great thing. You know, get me out of here. And then sometimes it's a tragic thing because, no, I really want to finish my life with the person I loved. And so there's just so many different ways to be trying to approach life in a new reality. And I'm trying to just keep myself hyped up, wound up, and focused, looking ahead. And it feels like it's starting to work for me. And so I don't know if that's useful for you, if you've gone through things and you're dealing with them or not. And I'm always happy to hear suggestions. Good friend and longtime listener I spoke to last week on the 2-year anniversary of the loss of the love of his life, longtime, you know, high school sweetheart, lengthy marriage, all of those kinds of things. And I've got to find a way to be a bright light for the people I love and the people that I work for and the people that I'm going to be around as I move forward. And so that's my focus. And I'm using spring as sort of the analogy, the focal point. So let's get rid of snow and slush and turn to motorcycles and sunshine and summer and continue to find ways to make joy out of life. And that includes all of the insanity that we're living through right now. You know, as tough as this is, and we're going to hear from Ronald Reagan tonight. Just a reminder of what was being forecast and foretold 60 years ago by one of the greatest presidents in American history. But still a pleasure and a privilege and an honor and a challenge and an obligation to be alive during these times. We've got to find where we fit in the battle for freedom, in the battle for prosperity and security and common sense in America again. And that's one of the motivating factors for me, too. I hope whatever's going on in your life, it is a motivating factor for you because it is game on. President Trump is the nominee of the Republican Party. We'll make it official at the end of July in Milwaukee. If whether or not I am reelected as national committee man, I will be there because my term won't end until the end of that convention. And so now, as I came up with for the promo for this show earlier this week, and I assume it's been playing once in a while, maybe you heard it, everybody has to decide whether they're on the side of being right, of being, you know, I'm more moral than you are. I'm more human. I'm more principled than you are. When you are on a precipice, when your country is literally and intentionally being invaded, overrun, overflowing with illegal aliens. I'm sure many of you saw that video of them swarming the National Guard down on the Texas border. That's an invasion. And if you look at that video again, maybe you didn't think about this. I hope you did because you need to understand what's happening. If you look at that video, you did not see mothers with children. You did not see men with their wives and their families, you know, starving, struggling people just trying to claw and dig and push their way into a new opportunity to live. You saw young, strong, military-aged men in that horrible, horrible video. The fact that Republicans who are in charge can't seem to find a way to impeach Joe Biden over failing to uphold his duty as the executive to enforce the law, including our immigration law, makes me sick. Sick, sick, sick. And we're going to talk about that as well. Mike Johnson, the most recent Speaker of the House for the Colorado, not the Colorado, for the United States, the GOP, the national GOP, the Republican Party. Motion's been filed to get him out. And I got to tell you, I don't disagree with it. I do not disagree with it. Oh, Republicans can't govern. You're spinning the House into chaos again. The Democrats are going to take it over. You keep signing these $1.2 trillion spending extension bills, and you have no business being the big man in the Republican majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. And you just keep doing it over and over and over. So whatever happens, I think just the opposite of what all the pundits and all of the, you know, the knowledgeable political people and those with experience and who've been around and think that, you know, Republicans have to demonstrate that they can govern. I think they are wrong. When people see fighters, when people say, yeah, you did it to us again. You have the power of the purse. You could shut the government down. Look at the history of government shutdowns. They do not hurt Republicans. You cannot keep signing these blank checks and sticking them on the backs of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and on and on and on, a debt that may never, ever be paid. You just can't do it. So if that creates turmoil in the House of Representatives, if, you know, if somehow we've got Ken Buck bailing out, we've got Mike Gallagher bailing out. Mike Gallagher seems to be timing his, instead of leaving now and creating some time for, and I haven't looked at those particular calendars in his state, I think it's Wisconsin, but I read a piece that described the turmoil that him delaying. If you're going to get out, get out. Get out now, like Ken Buck did. I think it's disgusting with a country on the brink, with an election, the most critical election of our lifetimes. And I used to say it and mean it before. We've never seen anything like the situation that we're in right now. And Ken Buck bails, and Mike Gallagher bails, and leaves the Republicans with the minuscule majority, but also puts their own states, their own constituents, their own congressional districts into absolute turmoil. That's not honorable. Oh, I just can't handle the MAGA people anymore. Oh, I just can't handle the insults or the fights or the disorganization or whatever. Step it up or get out. And that's what those two men have decided to do. No respect. And I said this with Mike Boyle before the crossover that I have not spoken to Ken Buck. Last time I reached out to him months ago, he responded and we were going to talk, never did. But that's more my fault than it is his. And, you know, he's somebody I've known for a long time, considered him a friend, supported him for chair and his congressional run and, you know, went to fundraisers for him, all kinds of stuff. And maybe there's an explanation better than I just don't feel like doing this job anymore. But man, you think about what our military puts up with to protect this country, what the founding fathers put up with to create and battle for this country. And these two men can't finish their terms. No respect. None. I opened the show by letting you know that it was 2 weeks ago that I was at there. Maybe I did that during the crossover. It all kind of runs together. You know, at my age, the Bidenitis starts to kick in. But I mentioned that I was in Houston for the Republican winter meeting. Had spring on my mind, called it the spring meeting before. But the winter meeting where Ronna McDaniel was replaced. Mike Whatley, somebody I've gotten to know well in my 5 years as Colorado's Republican National Committee man. And Laura Trump as co-chair. Very fascinating things that are going on. But for all of you who I know have just been so worried about Ronna, and I know you love to call her Ronna Romney McDaniel, and it's correct, she's a Romney, but I never found her to be following in the footsteps of her father. But of course, you never know what was going on behind the scenes. But regardless of all that, far be it from me to speculate. John, stop that in there. For those of you who are worried about Ronna McRomney, I'd heard some people call her. She's going to make it. She is going to make it. In fact, I plan to record Meet the Depressed on NBC tomorrow morning for the first time in probably 7 years, 8 years. I got away from the Sunday shows, the pathetic propaganda machines on Sunday morning network TV years ago. But Ronna McDaniel will be starting her new role as a spokesperson, as a commentator on NBC and my favorite, your favorite too, I'm sure, MSLSD. That's going to be fascinating. And I've had a lot of people ask me, is Ronna going to, you know, will we see what we've believed to be her true colors? And listen, I've defended Ronna. When the election went on for Ronna and Mike Lindell and Harmeet Dhillon, I had them all on the show multiple times, talked about many great things that Ronna McDaniel did as chair of the RNC, had Mike on with his, you know, just relentless energy, and Harmeet Dhillon, who was my choice for chair back when that election was going on last year, had them all on. Ronna knew I wasn't voting for, knew I was supporting Harmeet. We still maintained a cordial or at least a professional relationship. And I defended her when people, there's so much in the media that, you know, is exaggerated, not true. And that applies on our side a lot as well. And I've had multiple people ask me since the announcement came out just a couple, 2 or 3 days ago, what in the world? What is she going to do? Well, listen, she could be a spokesperson for the Republican Party, for Republican values, for Donald Trump. Or we could find out that it's all been a sham. Or who knows? She's going on NBC, MSLSD. Will she try and create a persona that will keep her collecting those paychecks? I just don't know. So I, for one, and I hope I don't forget, but I plan to record Meet the Depressed tomorrow on NBC so I can see Ronna's debut. And I have told people that I really think there's a chance that she's going to be, you know, the Republican who stands up against the Democrat panels that are always, and the Democrat moderators and commentators and interviewers that are always on these shows. I hope I'm right. I would love to see the same Ronna, who, again, I did not want to see run for this final term. It's just too many. And none of my constituents said, yeah, please reelect Ronna. So I didn't. I tried not to. But I always believed that her heart was in the right place. Donald Trump put her in that position because of her success in Michigan and bringing him over the he said it. And she, of course, took great credit for bringing him over the hump in Michigan in the 2016 presidential. He wanted her to run again, both the second and third times. I was there for those votes. I knew that Donald Trump was supporting her. And I hope that she is a strong voice, a strong activist. What do you think? Is that likely? We will see tomorrow. And I'm sure that'll be something we'll want to talk about next Saturday here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan. When we come back, probably the funniest line ever. Yeah, Donald Trump could do stand-up comedy. And if Donald Trump went up against, you know, all of these morons, these politically motivated hack morons that pass for comedians, if he had a show, a comedy show, and went up against any of those clowns, he would slaughter them. Remember, Donald Trump was very popular across all political spectrums, especially in Democrats, especially on TV, until he came out and ran and won as a Republican and actually implemented some truly powerful America First agenda items. But this may be when we come back, and I promise before we jump to calls, before we do anything else, we will play it first. So you got to sit tight. Stay with us here now at 710 KNUS. Don't forget our phone number, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. I'm Randy Corporan. We'll be right back. Well, I was never a homecoming queen. I didn't stay in high school long enough to be involved in any of that. Many of you know I dropped out when I was 15. But my mom was. She was, I guess she was a runner-up, actually. And she was so much prettier than the other woman. I saw her, but I think the other woman was... never mind, not going to say anything. My mom was... she was just much prettier. That's all I can say. Rest in peace, Mom. Miss you. Anyway, welcome back. Text messages are pouring in. We'll get to the phones here in just a second. I did promise the Trump audio, and I just got plugged in here, so let me find what I did with it. There it is. I see it. This is Donald Trump before he ran as a Republican, talked about life, talked about securing the border, talked about animals invading our southern border, talked about holding NATO accountable, holding China accountable, holding Mexico accountable, all of those things. He was popular among everybody, including the Hollywood elites, including the talk show morons, you know, the nightly TV, and all of those people. He was just a superstar, one of the longest running shows on TV, tremendously successful. And part of it is because he is simply funny. And I got to tell you, now that I've been around him, contagious, infectious, just an amazing human being. But he was at a rally, and he started talking about Big Fannie Willis. And this is what he had to say. I just got to love it. And, you know, tomorrow's the big day for Trump, the $400+ billion judgment. It's got to get a bond posted or get it paid, or Tish, as she's so affectionately called, the AG in New York, Letitia James, who ran her campaign on getting Trump, damaging an international American brand. But nonetheless, she has said, or at least will have the power to begin trying to lien and seize assets and direct funds and bank accounts, buildings, literally out of control. And I wonder if it's something that could really backfire on Democrats. Everything that they've done so far to try and take him out, keep him out, has been ineffective. In fact, his polling, one poll, I haven't looked at that closely, so I'll have to see it in a minute, but Donald Trump up 8 points in Michigan. 8 points in Michigan. And of course, that's after, you know, Demented Joe tries to court the Muslim vote, the Islamist vote in Dearborn, Michigan. What do they call it now? Dearbornistan. By trashing Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. And he's just going down, down, down. But all while they're going after Donald Trump's cash, and we'll see if there are any rabbits, any magic he can pull out of a hat. I know he tweeted, well, it shows up on Twitter, but on his Truth Social, that he had the $450 billion in cash, but he was planning to use it, you know, for his campaign and for other things. We'll see. We'll see how it plays tomorrow. Maybe an appellate court will do the right thing and put a stop to this nonsense until Donald Trump's appeal is completed. This is the most anti-American, unconstitutional, opposed to the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment, excessive fines ever seen in this country. For a man who created jobs, who created wealth, who paid everybody back on time, in some cases early and with interest and blah, blah, blah. You know how sick this particular thing is. But at the very same time, while the left is just drooling down their pointed chins and wiping the green gruel off of their lips and rubbing their hands together, because they're going to get Trump, we're going to get his assets, we're going to take his... One of the idiot night comedians was just gleefully saying, let's grab his plane. People are sick. And by the way, turnabout is fair play.
Lawfare works both ways. So be careful what you ask for, radical leftists who are in charge of the Democrat Party right now. Be very, very careful. But at the very same time, then we'll get to the phones, the very same time, the green light came Friday to make Truth Social, Trump's social media platform, a public company. And based on expectations and the amount of shares, of course, Trump is the dominant shareholder of that company, could net him $3 billion. So all the people who said, you know, Truth Social, it's a why go there when you can just, you know, you own Twitter. You've got more followers and get more action than anybody. And that was true until Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk got busy on there, I think. $3 billion. So even if these slime balls, these lowlifes, these unethical, politically motivated Marxist morons manage to temporarily seize his assets or grab onto him, clearly looks like Donald Trump is going to be just fine. And man, oh man, can those bastards stick that in their pipe and shove it, in their mouth and smoke it. How's that? I just think the timing is so ironic. And, you know, people like CNN and MSLSD and NBC and the others just going crazy over it. And I, for one, love it. All right, I promised we'd get to some phone calls. Let's at least try and squeeze one in here with Dave in Thornton. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm rooting for Donald Trump to make Rudy Giuliani the Attorney General. How would that be?
Oh, man. Talk about turnabout is fair play and somebody who knows how to use the law. I don't know, man. Rudy, I think, is 79 years old. I get, of course, Donald Trump is too, but Trump ages differently than other people. You can tell by the way he operates. But yeah, I could see some sweet justice in that, David.
I agree. I just think that, you know, this attorney general that we presently have, that's the guy that's going after Donald Trump. It's not that those people in New York, this is being guided by this attorney general that we have.
So you think Merrick Garland is behind or coordinating all of these different attacks on Donald Trump, even at the state level?
Yes, I do.
Well, we certainly know that the White House has been involved, or at least it's easy to draw that conclusion from the number of visits that big Fannie Willis and others have made to the White House and some of the communications that we've learned about and heard about. One thing for sure, David, these are coordinated attacks. It's the Democrats' most desperate move ever because Donald Trump, current trajectories, is going to win this election.
Yeah, but you better call them Demorats, not Democrats. They're Demorats.
I like Demon Rats. What do you think about that one?
I like that one also.
That brings this.
You have a good.
You do this.
You have a good day. And keep attacking them, Randy. Keep attacking them. Tell it the way it really is, because, you know, I remember back many years ago, there was a program out there, Do You Believe It or Not, you know, and they'd have all these stories, you know. And it was always, you know, they had that panel out there. They'd give a story and they said, Do you believe this or not? Believe it or not, you know. And I go back thinking about some of those, and I look what our press does, and I say, I don't believe it, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you, David. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Welcome to spring, my friend.
You have a good one yourself.
All right, God bless.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. David's line is open, 303-696-1971. Ton of text messages. We're going to jump on them, get back to your calls, but right now it's time to take a break. Right this second here on 710 KNUS. Well, Dr. Hook and I are going to have to disagree. When I was in love with my beautiful woman, I didn't have to worry about my friends because I knew where her heart was. And she'll always have my heart as a result. Or at least that piece of it that that will never be filled by anybody else or in another way. I've got a big heart, though, and I know there's room to love again. And text messages agree. We're going to jump back on the phone calls here in just a second, but I think this is important. These kind texts are just so beautiful. I opened the show talking a little bit about how I'm trying to inspire, you know, get myself back to normal, trying to, you know, push ahead, fight this fight as far as the election goes, get my business fired up again because I've been dead in it, you know, for so many months. And that's just me. It's just been, you know, having the life sucked out of me 10 months ago. And so I talked about that a little bit, and it led to this text. Randy, I think you're headed in the right direction. I was married 32 years, and I did end up in a divorce. One of the hardest things in my life. It took me 5 years to finally turn things around a bit. I was in my 60s. Wasn't too excited about getting married again. Waited too long. I'm in my 70s and wish I had found someone else. I hope one day God will bring you someone if that's what you want. Keep your head looking positive. Ask God for guidance. Boy, I've been doing that a lot. And I forget, you know, you get arrogant in your head, and I got this world under control. I've got my heart and my feelings under control. And then you just get touched with something that just rips you right back open. And so I do turn and ask for guidance and strength, the right decisions, the right people in my life. And for this texter, you know, even if you're in your 70s now, I don't think it's too late to fall in love again. Put yourself in situations where other people are at. I mean, at that age, at my age, widows abound. And people who would just love to have companionship again. In this big world, I still think there's somebody for everybody. Absolutely. But what a wonderful, kind words from the texter. Thank you very, very much. Anyway, I mentioned the $464 million bond that Trump has to come up with tomorrow or pay the fine. Should post the bond, obviously. Don't want to pay the fine and have that money dispersed until his appeals, which I am quite certain will overturn this ridiculous, unconstitutional, unusual crime and punishment, excessive fine, Eighth Amendment nonsense that went on in a New York courtroom. Confident that that will happen, but it takes time for that to happen. But at the same time that happens, Truth Social, the acquisition, the public offering of Truth Social approved, should net Donald Trump about $3 billion. Now, that's even if he gets that money, and I'm assuming he will, you can't use it. I read something. I'm no expert on this, but I think you can't touch any of that for like 6 months or something like that. So it's not a problem solver, but I don't think Donald Trump is going to go hungry. Let me just put it that way. And every time one of these bastards come after him, he just finds a way to push back, keep on trucking with that wonderful attitude, that wonderful sense of humor. I got to tell you, I got the biggest laugh out of that. Some other great text messages, we'll get back to them. A lot of topics on the table for me with you tonight. But the phones are hopping already at 303-696-1971. Let's check in with our good friend Jack, who is, you never know whether he's in Cheyenne, in Colorado, driving in between, flying around, chasing the dogs, being chased by the dogs. But Jack, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, you got a pretty good picture of my life. You sure do. No, I'm up here. I just got up here an hour or two ago. I've been down in Evergreen for a couple of days. But I heard one of your callers trying to give a modified, insulting way of pronouncing the word Democrat. But I thought I had the best one in the world, and I gave it to you 2 years ago. And it was inspired by your governor. I call them degenocrats.
I don't remember that, Jack, but I love it. Degenocrats. Well, I mean, degenocrats. Yeah.
Well, everything, it's to destroy everything. It's to degenerate everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they are, the degenerates. I mean, I told you that 2 years ago. I thought you listened to me.
Well, I get more than one call over the course of 2 years. But, yeah, I think that's – I would think that one would stick. It's so good. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I get – oh, don't ask. I fell over and lost my balance, and I landed on my head, and I can't see out of my right eye. But other than that, everything's pretty cool.
Oh. Well, upright and taking nourishment.
You were talking about dating again. And you were talking about dating again, but you stopped at the 80s, man. I mean, you seemed to cut it off in the 70s.
Well,
I don't see me ever doing that again.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a time to wind it down. But this texter was so kind in his 70s now. I don't think there's ever no hope. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but it's like half of me died, you know, and I've got my memories. I'm living with them. I'm comfortable with them. I don't like sleeping by myself, obviously, but I don't want to get involved with some kind of a crazy lunatic situation that I've got way too much money to put at risk to get involved with somebody on that level anyway. Okay, without saying that, what was the name for the Democrats? Test time.
Degenocrats. I love it.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
I gave you the one for Ocasio Cortez, if you'll remember correctly.
Oh, I took full credit for that, Jack. I think as you age, your memory's getting feeble.
No. I gave it to you way before you started saying it. Anyway, that's what I do. I play with words all the time. All right.
Keep them coming, my friend.
Thanks,
yeah,
Randy.
Take care.
All right.
Good old Jack in Evergreen. His line is open, 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. And Degenocrats, Alexandria, Ocrazio, no, Cortex. I think I'll give Jack some credit for the Ocrazio, but I came up with the no Cortex, if I recall. Now, the tapes are out there. The podcasts are out there. So, you know, this is my opinion, defamation lawyers. But, Alexandria, Ocrazio, no Cortex. Yeah, I remember that. Anyway, let's see. Who else we got? We got Jay in Castle Rock hanging out. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
I am hanging in, man. Trying to get fired up and flying ahead, you know?
Good. Good to hear that.
Yeah.
It's hard to dig out, but once you start digging out, the air gets better and spirits get better. And
you know what? Spring helps too, doesn't it, Jay? I mean, just fresh air, looking ahead to motorcycle rides and green starting to come, and sunshine makes a lot of difference for me. I bet it does for a lot of people.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does. A couple of quick things. On these folks, let's talk about Letitia and Alvin Bragg and Fanny. You know, and you can put whatever acronyms before and after and words before and after, but there's six pair of sweaty thighs really concerned about their future. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Very sweaty thighs.
Yeah.
And they all have a similar build to them. It's like they've been going through Taco Bell constantly or something. I don't know what the deal is. But,
there is a post on Truth Social, a Donald Trump post, where they show a prosecutor asking Mr. Wade, the lover, about whether he spent time alone in a cabin or something. I forget the exact question with Big Fanny Willis. They didn't, you know, identify her quite that way. And then it turns into this meme that they put together for Trump's post where he's paused. And by the way, they used a real-time pause. He waited a long time to answer that question.
Almost and a then, minute, yes, right.
Yeah, and then said no. But so on this video, they all of a sudden have, while he's looking up, they put a bubble over his head, and they start flashing pictures of Big Fanny in a swimsuit, stretched out sideways, showing her Big Fanny, other stuff like that. It's just hilarious. I mean, Trump is the comedian par excellence.
Oh, God bless him. He's trying to save us all from a real problem. What I had a question. This Letitia James, as a DA, brings a non-criminal, but I believe it's a – is it a civil claim against Trump? It's not, right? Is it civil?
It's civil.
Okay. So then he'll have the right, you're the attorney, to come back for some very serious damages against New York and Letitia James, hopefully, if this pans out properly.
Hmm.
I hope.
Yeah, I don't know how it works in that state. Thank God that you know, the court allowed him, or the court is expediting his request for a stay of that judgment. Yeah. I don't know that they'll have anything happen soon enough. And I was really getting confused for a second because, you know, we've got District Attorney Bragg in New York bringing the 34-count felony charges. But then we've got these civil fines for these allegations that he somehow defrauded his creditors, which is such nonsense, imposed by a judge who values Mar-a-Lago at $11 million. I mean,
yeah,
how,
parking spot for that.
How stupidly obvious is just how unfair and criminal this behavior really is.
Yeah, and recently Letitia James has been caught messing with a building owned by an Irish nonprofit that she did similar things, and they're trying to take her over, and there's lawsuits, so there's some history about the way she is. But you talk about a really nasty, negative person on the planet. She just has to be the pinnacle of all that.
Well, I think she and Fani are certainly spawned by the same evil seed. I mean, we're in a spiritual war, and these people are ugly human beings. And I don't mean physically, because there's plenty of people who aren't beautiful to look at that are wonderful, wonderful souls. But these are deep, dark, ugly people.
Well, anytime you deal with someone that has the power of the government and is on the take, and I've had to deal with that in the past in our business, it's really serious. Let me tell you one thing about 2016 election.
You know, Jay, if we got the music going in only about 30 seconds, if you want to hold, I'll carry you
sure,
over.
I will.
And
it's
all
a
right.
Good story, real quick story.
Sounds good. We'll hold on to Jay, plop him back on hold. I've also got a computer expert, some audio I want you to hear about election fraud and just how easy it is. Ronald Reagan on deck from 60 years ago, warnings that play so true today. And phone lines are hot. Text messages are hot. Let's keep it hot here on 710-KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.